You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 472. We've got a handful of different topics to discuss today, and of course, they're all related to Notre Dame football. Randall's here as well. Randall, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. There's only 40 more days until football, or until Notre Dame football. College football actually starts before that.
The first game, the first games are a week before, I think. And I don't remember last year that there was games a full week before, you know, the traditional start.
Yeah,
of college football.
Are you going to be watching UMass and?
Of course, I'm not going to be watching, but it's still exciting the sooner it gets started.
Yeah, exactly. I actually might be, because it's just football is finally here, and you get to see the. It helps to get even more excited, if that's possible, for the upcoming Saturday.
And there are usually good games on Friday night or Thursday night and Friday night at the beginning of the season. So I usually try to catch, you know, the big game of the night, or at least parts of it. Anyway, we've got just a handful of different topics here. Let's just, we want to talk a little bit about Wimbush, an article from The Athletic, written by Pete Sampson. Hit on a few notes on that. We want to talk about some Notre Dame in the NFL, and then some more watch lists came out, and then also, I want to ask you guys a question. Podcast listeners, what is the ideal podcast length for you personally? Do you listen if it's 60 minutes long, or do you just decide, I don't have time for that? So for me personally, 30 minutes is perfect, because that's my commute time to work and then from work. So if I don't catch it on the way to work, I can catch it on the way back. So for me, 30 minutes is the ideal length. I'll still listen to a podcast if I like it, if it's longer than that. But 30 minutes for me is the perfect bite of podcasting that I want.
So you're saying we don't have a perfect podcast during the season?
No. So either send us a tweet, or if you're not on Twitter, send us an email, mail@irishsportstalk.net, or we're also on Facebook. You can send a message and just let us know what your preferred or what your thoughts are on podcast length. All right, let's start with that article from Pete Sampson over on The Athletic. And they did have a really great promo going on. I think normally it's about $10 a month, and it was down to around $3 per month. So I don't know if they're still running a special or not. But I was really impressed with its premium content, so you have to subscribe if you want to read it. But the article was about Brandon Wimbush, and some of the the part I want to talk about anyway is about the what his quarterback coach from California, what he had to say about Wimbush. And there's just one Taylor Kelly. And Brandon Wimbush was out there in the winter over spring break, and he's going out again next week after Notre Dame summer school, and then after that is going to be the start of fall camp. But the part that concerned me was when Wimbush was not able to explain what went wrong in the plays where he made a mistake, either the ball, you know, was a few feet short. Particularly where I can think of most of the mistakes were, or most of the obvious or mistakes that just can't happen, is those passes out to the flat where you have either your running back or your tight end open, and you're throwing it, you know, at their ankles or even shorter than their ankles. And he wasn't able to say, you know, what went wrong on some of those plays where things were going wrong. And then he also wasn't able to explain what went right on the plays that did go right. So that's alarming. That's shocking to me. But I think I'm still optimistic that it was worked on. And I do think Brandon takes the quarterback position and playing at Notre Dame, I think he takes it seriously. And he's going to, from what I understand, a very good quarterback coach, Taylor Kelly. And so I'm optimistic that things are going to be different this fall.
Well, Brian Kelly was asked about this, I think it was during the spring, even wintertime, when Brandon Wimbush was out there. and just kind of asked what his thoughts were on the quarterbacks, you know, going to work with these quarterback coaches. And he was totally fine with it, especially with Taylor Kelly. He said, you know, they're actually in communication back and forth and what they need to work on and things like that. And Brian Kelly was all for it. And it's from what it sounds like, it doesn't sound like they're doing crazy things. They're not waving a broom like George Whitfield did and some other things like that. But just working on the fundamentals, and I like how Pete mentioned what you were saying about looking at the mistakes. Why that I was totally just like you. I was totally shocked by that. Like, I mean, he is the first. It was his first year starting, but it clearly shows how much he had going on in his mind and trying to, figure everything out.
Yeah,
and it kind of makes sense. It helps understand maybe why he kind of had the late season or kind of relapsed late in the season and just wasn't seeing things anymore. So hopefully, the things he's been saying and doing over the summer, I think that is changing. I mean, he's taking the next step. And another thing you also mentioned was how Chip Kelly plans to spend more time with him this next season. And we're talking about a little bit, you know, where's Tom Reese, still call him Tommy. Where's Tommy Reese, you know, in all of this as well. But I do think he's taking the right steps and headed the right direction.
And again, I mean, just a little plug for The Athletic. I mean, it looks like great. It's a new platform, but it is good content. It's really good content. And at least give it a try. Sign up for a trial if the special promo isn't going anymore.
And the main guys are Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel. And we actually had Stuart Mandel on the podcast a couple years ago. Talk about one of the books he wrote. But, yeah, I agree. I'm impressed with it so far.
All right.
And if you're wondering who Taylor Kelly is, he works out with Tom Brady, who works out with him. I think Andrew Luck was out there as well or is headed out. Just go check out their website. What was it? Three.
I don't know. I pulled it up right now.
Anyways, it's not like these guys are just working with high schoolers or college players. Tom Brady likes to work out with him, so that tells you something about his reputation or where he stands.
3DQ is the, or 3DQB, I mean, is the name of the program.
And there's a couple other guys besides Taylor Kelly there as well, but they've got a good name, and I think it's a great place for Brandon Wimbush to be at.
All right. Ticket sales coming up here in a few days on the 23rd, or 26th. Sorry, the 26th, I mean. Today's the 23rd.
Which is Thursday night, 6 o'clock. So be waiting by your phone. As soon as 6 o'clock hits, you better be calling to try to get your tickets, so good luck with that.
And then Dexter Williams, there has been a little bit of questions about, is something wrong? Is he going to play for sure the entire season, or is he going to be suspended for a few games similar to what Stefferson is? And, I mean, yes.
We keep hearing more things, and let's just say he's got too many check marks against him, and it's very unlikely that he'll be playing the first.
With confidence, we can say he won't be playing the first four games of the season.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is tough because we need him against Michigan. So I'm not saying that we'll lose against Michigan without him, but everyone will help.
Yeah.
So, but maybe he'll be healthier at the end of the year compared to what the running backs have been in other years. That's the bright side of it. Maybe he'll be healthier in November to try to help Notre Dame over the November slump.
I guess that's one way to look at it. And what are some of the watch lists that Notre Dame players have been added onto?
Well, we mentioned a couple last week, and this week there's a few more. Julian Love has been added to the Jim Thorpe watch list, which is a top defensive back. Coney was added to his second watch list. Coney and Tranquil were both added to the Butkus Award, which is a top linebacker. And then Alizé Mack has been added to the Mackey Award, which is the best tight end. And then Sam Mustipher was added to the Remington Trophy, which is for the top center. So there you have it. Hopefully Alize Mack didn't find out about that and focuses on his... these watch lists, it's all hype, like especially with him. Clearly, Julian Love should be on the list for top DB. You know, Coney and Tranquil and Mustipher. Mack is one of those that he's still got a lot to prove. So remember, a year ago, everyone had him headed to the NFL. So I was never... I will say, I don't like to say I was right, but I was not convinced last year that he's going to the NFL.
Well, I expected it wasn't I expected that
he had,
more.
He just hadn't proved anything.
I know. And
it was way too premature to anyways, you know how it is.
Hopefully with a little better quarterback play, he'll be able to at least be helped to prove a little more. But
same with quarterbacks. The quarterback on the bench is always the best quarterback on the team. So,
all right. Anyways, and then what about our players in the NFL?
Well, Mike McGlinchey finally signed his rookie contract, and I think the 49ers camp starts on Wednesday, so he did it just in time. But he got a 4-year contract for $18.3 million fully guaranteed, and it's got an $11.4 million signing bonus with that. So he's getting paid, and just in time for training camp to start. And then Harrison Smith, his name keeps popping up. I'm always amazed whenever there's another stat that comes out about Harrison Smith. I always think of our friend Tony and how he was not a fan of Harrison Smith. but Pro Football Focus had a list of safeties. Or passer rating allowed when targeted in coverage versus tight ends. Harrison Smith, his was at 4.8. Second place was Chris Conte at 26.1. Reggie Nelson, 30.6. Bradley McDougald, I don't even know all these guys. I'm so watching NFL.
This is the rating.
He's by far, this is a passer rating allowed when targeted in coverage versus tight ends.
Yeah.
Of course, if you saw this on Twitter, the Eagle fans jumped all over that and had video clips of him getting beat by Zach Ertz, I believe, and said, you know, that's where all the yards came from right there, because he couldn't do anything against him on that one play. But Harrison Smith continues to show that he's the best safety out there. So just some fun stats to look at, and that was from Pro Football Focus. So, but that's what I got for guys in the NFL.
Is there anything with recruiting, that any update?
Not a whole lot is happening with recruiting. It's a dead period right now, so not a whole lot is happening in the recruiting world. Some of the guys that Notre Dame have been targeting have been committing to other schools lately. I mean, it's not like they were expected to come to Notre Dame and they changed their minds, but they were Notre Dame targets. But it is the dead period, and so that's why there's not a whole lot of stuff going on with recruiting right now.
All right. And then anything else, Randall?
Well, we were talking a little bit. Well, two things. There's talk about a weekly injury report for college football, and we were kind of discussing that a little bit. Today was the Big Ten media day, and so Jim Harbaugh was asked about it. The guy that wouldn't even release a depth chart during the season said he thinks it's a good idea. So who knows what he meant by that. But I'm not sure if it would be – it depends how they do it. I was taught, you know, in the NFL, you know, a big reason they do it is so that they can bring in other players, you know, add them to the roster for that week or a couple weeks. And – you know, they had their rules that if you're on certain injury lists, you know, that means you're out for 4 games or 6. You know, there's different things. So I'm not sure what all it entails for college football. But Like you mentioned, it would give us a little less to talk, a little less speculation on our part on who's going to be ready to play on Saturdays.
I hope this doesn't go through because I enjoy speculating. I mean, Brian Kelly is always the, I don't know, seems to be a little bit optimistic that, oh, yeah, he's again at healthier than he's ever been, 100%, and then he doesn't play. So it's always a little bit of a guessing game, and I kind of enjoy the guessing game.
But look at it this way. It could help Notre Dame knowing – it would help teams knowing who's going to be playing or not playing. I don't know if they'd have a deadline, say, like Wednesday. If you're on that list, you're not going to play. I'm not sure how they'd do it. If they do something like that, it would definitely help out teams. I mean, especially when it comes to quarterbacks, you know, and your star players, it's going to make a huge difference. And you'll have less of that, oh, which quarterback are they going to bring out? You know, can he play a full game? Are they?
It would change things, I think, more in college where it's normal to have a quarterback that is much more of a runner and the other quarterback might be much more of a passer, whereas in the NFL, for the most part, the quarterbacks are pretty much
the same,
more equal as far as they can, you know, they can, we're both are pretty well at passing and are decent athletes, you know, not across the board 100%, but more so than in college.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to watch what happens to that. And the second thing was game day. There's kind of this discussion, will game day be at Notre Dame for the opening game against Michigan? And I think it will be.
I think so too.
Often there's other games. There are some other games. There was two games that you could say maybe, and that was Auburn and Washington, and then West Virginia and Tennessee.
And I would still throw in Alabama and Louisville. Those are at least two potentially top 25 teams. At the end of the year, Louisville could be a top 25 team.
Louisville doesn't have Lamar Jackson, so there's not as much intrigue in them.
I agree.
Those three are basically the best games you have.
But I think clearly Notre Dame Michigan is better than all of those.
Yeah. Well, here's some other things. So let's say you look at Auburn, Washington. You know, that sounds pretty good. But Auburn and Washington are playing in Atlanta at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is where the Falcons play. And game day was there last year for week one in Atlanta. So
what,
I don't know if they'll
game,
try to look
what,
at something.
Was it for this game?
No, it wasn't for this game. I'm not sure what game it was. But they were in Atlanta for week one. And should look that up real quick. But you look at the Notre Dame or Michigan game. That's a huge, it's a rivalry that's kind of starting again. Has been played for a while. And then you got Shea Patterson, who will likely be playing for Michigan. There's an SEC quarterback coming in. And everybody's wondering what he's able to do after his injury. And I would say they're going to be in South Bend on opening day on Saturday. Because there's one other game, but that's on Sunday. They're playing Miami and LSU are playing, but game day is on Saturday. So I would put my money on Notre Dame and Michigan.
Florida State and Alabama last year.
I can see why they were there.
The only reason that Washington might get the nod, Washington Auburn, is because it is a game that's on ESPN, so it's their network that they'd be promoting instead of promoting an NBC game. But they have been at Notre Dame Stadium before, you know, for an NBC game. So
that's the only thing that affects Notre Dame is their contract with NBC. But the last time there was in 2012, which we were actually up there, was the Stanford game. Mm-hmm. What's the Stanford game?
I was there for the Stanford game. I don't remember if that was the college. And I was there for the college game day, but now I don't remember which game, if it was that game or another game.
No, it was the Stanford game.
Okay.
And so they haven't been back there since. I mean, I think a lot of it does come down to the fact with Notre Dame and NBC's contract, but I could see them doing it for week one. Do you like having game day at Notre Dame?
Oh yeah. Game day is exciting. I don't watch it even close to every week.
Yeah.
But whenever I do have the time to watch it, I always enjoy it. One thing Lee Corso, he's getting old, and it's time for him to be replaced. And not because I don't like him, but because he's to the point where he's forgetful, and he sometimes says things that you as the listener or audience, I know what he means, but he's saying sometimes the wrong words or the wrong team. And I think it would be best for him to be for him to retire from College game day. And maybe I didn't even look at it. Is he on for the 2018?
I haven't
assume
even
that
looked
he
at
is.
I wonder what the thing with them being in South, but Desmond Howard would have plenty to say about that game with Notre Dame playing Michigan. So,
hey, that's fine.
Yeah, which is even more reason for them to come. So, anyways, just some exciting things. It's coming up. 40 days away. Football is almost here. Camp starts here in August 2nd. Well, Brian Kelly's press conference on August 2nd. Camp starts on August 3rd. So, exciting stuff coming up.
All right. If you guys do want to talk Notre Dame football, head on over to the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. It is free to use, and the only thing we ask is that you click on that Amazon link and do your shopping after you click on that link so that we get a little kickback for the hosting fees of that website. But again, that's forums.irishsportstalk.net, and you can join the conversation over there. Follow us on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk, and until next time, which will be very close to fall camp and giving some predictions about fall camp. Until next time, Go Irish.
Go Irish.